Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up our sugya today, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion, and it's a discussion that's actually rather long. We started our discussion on Daf Chof Beis. In the middle of the Omid, we had seen a firebox around the Zikne Dorom. The Zikne Dorom represents a shita that holds that the Mishnah that teaches a Kohen who is Tomei is Mechalel Avoda, that does not include a Kohen who is Tomei Meis. And they reasoned that since we find in the realm of Tumas Meis that there is an allowance made for it when the Tzibur is Tomei Tumas Meis, so too on a private basis if a Kohen processes a Korban Yochid while Tomei, so we say that there is an allowance made, or in other words, we say that the tzitz is meratzeh. In the course of our discussion, we employed triangles in our markings to indicate a back and forth, a give and take, with the triangles' points facing upwards, representing shelos, questions, and with their points facing downwards, responses. In this case, in today's Gemara, we are, as we said, in the middle of a discussion. We open up with a question. This will be featured by the triangle with its point facing up, 6 lines from the top on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. The last point that had been made was that the Zikne Dorom made no comparison. They were not makish bein oichlim l'menuyim, whereas the idea of menuyim is ma'akev, is a binding factor with regard to the Korban Pesach, namely that the Korban Pesach must be slaughtered with those appointed to participate in that particular group, and that are going to eat from that particular lamb or sheep offering, which is the Korban Pesach, or goat, possibly, soyer, it's brought from tzon, which includes seh, kvasim ve'izim. You must be appointed to the group that's going to participate, that eat from it. Those are called menuyim. And the Tanaic source expressed the idea that the ochlin, the issue of eating, which is a general, very broad topic, we'll refer to it thusly, the issue of ochlin are compared to the issue of menuyim. Just like menuyim, the issue is binding, so too the issue concerning ochlin, eating, is also binding. The Gemara then said, well, the Zikne Dorom are able to extricate themselves from the question that was raised from that source, which of course we discussed in our previous shiur. They extricate themselves by saying that they're not makish, they do not make the comparison between Oichlin and Menuyim. The Gemara now opens up with today's shiur, V'chi, before we actually read the question, just take note that we have a long question at hand. This is indicated by a kuf that you find to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The kuf is in a triangle, and it has a vertical dashed line, and we've also indicated a 1 and 2 as you scan down the vertical dashed line. There are actually 2 parts to the attack that we're about to embark on with regard to the Zikne Dorom. The first is an attack based on a type of Kal V'chomer, a logical attack, and then the stage 2, the Gemara will introduce a Tanaic source which seems to run counter to the Zikne Dorom. Once again, the Zikne Dorom holds that with regard to Tumas Meis, there is an allowance made for a Kohen who is Tomei Meis and processes a korban that he is not Mechalel the Avoda. The Gemara asks, V'chi lo makshi, and even if the Zikne Dorom don't make a hekesh between Menuyim and Ochlin, Nami meha is luhupircha, there is, however, a logical rebuttal to their opinion as follows. Oma b'mokoyim shenitnu bailim b'sheretz, shemeshalchin korbanosehem lichatchila. Kohen shenitmo b'sheres eino meratze. According to the Zikne Dorom that held that an owner of a korban who is tomei tumas sheretz is able to send his korban to be processed, and he's able to send it to be processed lechatchila, and yet a kohen shenitmo b'sheretz eino meratze. This is your shita, the shita of the Zikne Dorom, that a kohen who is tomei tumas sheretz ruins the avoda. Mokoim shenitmu bailim b'meis. Here, where the owner is tomei tumas meis she'ein mishalchin korbanoseim lichatchila. Even the Zikne Dorom agreed with this point at the very bottom of the previous omid, that though they may be able to send their korbanos, but it's not the lechatchila way of doing things. It's not the best way of doing things. So in the realm of Tumas Mace, where there is even further restriction, Kohen shenitmo b'meis eino din she'eino meratze. A Kohen who is nitmo, who becomes Tomei Tumas Mace, which we saw as a more restrictive realm, all the more so if he offers the korban, it should not be acceptable, which is counter to the opinion of the Zikne Dorom. So at this point, we've raised one question on the Zikne Dorom, a question based on logic. Meisvei, now we have a question from a Tanaic source on the Zikne Dorom. This is a Tanaic source that's really brought here as a partial quote. In theory, it's possible to extract from the quote that you see in the Gemara enough information to understand the continuation of the Gemara itself. However, to make things easier, let's just cite the beginning of this Mishnah. This is a Mishnah Psochem Daf Peyam Beis, and it says there, before we read the piece that's cited in the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah there, and you may see this on the side of your Gemara where we've written this in, HaPesach Shenizrak Domoi V'achakach Noida Shehu, the Pesach or the Dam, Tomei, a Korban Pesach whose blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and then it became known that the animal or the blood had become Tomei, Hatzitz Meratze, the Kohen Gadol's golden headplate has an atoning effect, and the korban is acceptable nonetheless. Nitmo haguf, if the individual, if the person was tomei, ein hatzitz meratze. The tzitz does not atone. Mipnei she'omru, and at this point we can look in the quote that we have in the Gemara, mipnei she'omru, nozir v'oise pesach, hatzitz meratze al tumas dam, with regard to a nozir or a korban pesach, we say that the tzitz atones for the tuma that may have affected the blood of the korban. The ein hatzitz meratze al tumas aguf, and yet the tzitz does not atone for the situation of the person being tumei. Now, before we get very specific, we mentioned person. The realm includes or can include the owner or and or the kohen who processes the korban. I want to point out that this source has a seifa to it as well. It's quoted a little bit later in the Gemara, but it's appropriate to mention that right now, that there's a seifa, and the seifa says, and you can see it's in a frame a few lines later, nitmo tumas hatahom, if there is an issue of doubtful tuma, the term tumas hatahom, without getting into details, Rashi points out it means doubtful, suffek tuma, hatzitz meratze, the tzitz will have an atoning effect. So we're going to have to focus on some kind of tumas haguf, where if it's a known tuma, the tzitz will not be meratze, but if it's tumas hatahom, the tzitz will be meratze. But before we get to the seifa, let's continue now in the Gemara. We can read this again, the Meisvei, from the beginning of the Tanaic quote. We now have all of the necessary background, where we saw that if the dam or the meat became tamei, so that tzitzis maratzeh, and it says in this source, which we're reading again, that nei she'amru nazir ve'oise pesach hatzitz maratzeh al tumas dam, that tzitz atones for problems involving tumah that affected the blood of the korban, ve'ein hatzitz maratzeh al tumas aguf, but that tzitz does not atone for issues, for problems concerning the person becoming tamei. B'mai, what tumah are we talking about? Ilema b'tumas sheretz, ho amris, it was all, if you say that we're talking about the issue of tumas sheretz, this was touched upon on Chof Beis and Mud Beis. We have a little squiggle arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating where this quote comes from. And if you scan down the Chof Beis and Mud Beis, and you'll find a parallel squiggled arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see where this comes from. So if you say that the issue of the Tumah over here is an issue of Tumas Sheretz, Ho Amris, but we already said, the Ziknei Dorom already said, their Shita is, Shochtin V'Zorkin Al Tumas Sheretz, that the owner of the Korban, if the owner happened to be Tomei Tumas Sheretz, he sends his Korban in to be processed. There's no need for the Tzitz to Meratze. In other words, the issue of the tzitz meratze, tzitzein meratze, doesn't come up with regard to the case of the Bailim Tomei Tumas Sheretz. Elo Tumas Meis. So it must be talking about the case of Tumas Meis. And what does it say in this source? The Katoni Ein Hatzitz Meratze. That the tzitz of the golden headplate of the Kohen Gadol does not atone for the case of Tumas Meis. Alma, so we see from here, nitmu bailim b'meis, if the bailim were tamei meis, ein mishalchen korbanoseim, they don't send their korban in. In other words, if the bailim are tamei tumas meis, they cannot rely on the tzitz for allowing their korban to be processed. You'll notice we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating Chof Beis Omid Beis. If you scan down same side of the page on Chof Beis Omid Beis, I mean to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice three lines from the bottom, a statement was made by the Ziknei Dorom that said, Tomei Meis Nami Mishaleach Korbanosov. Here we see, not so. So, at this point, we end our question that attacks the Shita of the Ziknei Dorom. So we saw in this long question, in effect two facets of, or two aspects that are problematic to the Shita of the Ziknei Dorom. The end of the first question, we concluded that through the Kal Vachomer, that if a Kohen is Nitma B'meis, he certainly will not be Meratzeh, his service will not be acceptable. And that's contrary to the Ziknei Dorom, which said that a kohen is nitma tumas meis, he is acceptable. And a second thing, in developing their shita, the Ziknei Dorom came up with the idea that if the bailim are nitma tumas meis, they are able to send their korbanos in to be processed. Here we see not so. So as far as this last point is concerned, the question that comes from the source, the Ziknei Dorom have an answer. Loi. E de'itmi bailim b'meis hochinami. If the source was talking about the owner being tomei tumas meis, hochinami, they would be able to send their korban. So this particular point is a response which is in defense of the statement of the Ziknei Dorom that we saw at the bottom of Chof Beis Amid Beis. Hocha b'may askinon, the source that spoke about the tzitz not being meratze on guf. Hocha b'may askinon, here, what are we talking about? Kegoin shenitmo kayein b'sheretz. We emphasize the word kayein. The case here is that the kayein became tomei tumas sheretz. And that is exactly the shita of the Ziknei Dorom. The Gemara asks, "E hachi, if the source that we saw just above is dealing with sheretz, emo seifa, let us state the continuation of that same source. Nitmo tumas hatohoim hatzitz merate. If there is an issue of doubtful tuma, the tzitz will atone. Hotoni Rabbi Chiya loy omru tumas hatohom elo lemeis bavad. This is a brisa of Rabbi Chiya that clarifies the seifa of the Mishnah that says that the issue of tumas hatohom, the issue of doubtful tuma and an allowance made for that, that's only in the realm of tumas meis. Lemeis lemutemai, by emphasizing tumas meis, what are we excluding? Lav lemute tumas hatohom desheretz. Are we not coming to exclude an issue concerning doubtful tuma with regard to sheretz? In other words, that in tumas hatohom desheretz there wouldn't be any heter. Therefore, the reisha was not talking about tumas sheretz, namely, not like the Ziknei Dorum tried to say in their own defense. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara pointing to that which we've written in. That which we've written in includes this comment that the Reisha is not talking about Tumas Sheretz. Notice the arrow a few lines up. There, the Ziknei Dorum's response there was that it was talking about Tumas Sheretz with regard to the Kayin. But it seems from the Seifa that the whole source is not talking about Tumas Sheretz. Loi, the Ziknei Dorum responds, not so. In other words, the Seifa can very well be talking about Tumas Sheretz, and that when it says here that Lo Omru Tumas Atom Elo Lameis Bovad, we're not coming to Mimayit Sheretz. Elo Lemute Tumas Atom Deziva. Once again, we're not coming to be Mimayit Tumas Atom Desheretz. The Reisha, in effect, was talking about a Kohen who was Nitma B'Sheretz. As far as the Seifa is concerned, it is coming to exclude another realm, a realm of a Sofek Tumah concerning the type of Tumah called Ziva. For in the context of our Shiur, there is no need to get into the definitions and the issues concerning Ziva, but it has to do with Tumah that's a result of bodily flows, but nothing to do with Sheretz. Question. Notice we're able to say question by the fact we have a triangle here with the point facing up. So if you, at this point then, we are saying that the source that was cited above can conform to the approach of the Ziknei Dorum, and the issue of the Seifa, which spoke about Tumas, we spoke about the tzitz not being meratz on tumas haguf, but the tzitz is meratz on an issue of tumas haguf in the context of sofek tuma. Who is the goof? So the Ziknei Dorum said that we were talking about a kohen who was nitma, and specifically a case of a kohen who was nitma b'tumas sheretz. So as far as the Ziknei Dorum are concerned, and the source, we know the dinim of a kohen who had encountered tumas hatahom. Ela ha deboy romi barchama kohen. Notice again, we've emphasized the word kohen. Kohen hamiratze bekorbanoseim hutraloi tumas hatahom oiloi. A kohen who is processing korbanos and then it's discovered that he had encountered an issue of sofek tuma. Is there an allowance made for that, that the korbanos that he did are okay or not? Well, from everything that we've learned up till now, Tifshot, Rami Bar Chama should have been able to conclude the hutrulo. For after all, over here, meaning in the source that we discussed just above, we are talking about a koyin, and we've established that the tzitz is meratze for tumas tahom, at least as far as the source is concerned, for tumas hatohom of meis, and we said that's not limited to meis, it's tumas hatohom of sheretz as well, and the only type of tumas hatohom that's not included is tumas hatohom of ziva, but specifically, tumas hatohom involving the koyein, there is an allowance made. So why does Rami Bar Chama even raise the question? The Gemara answers, the Rami Bar Chama vadai pligi. Rami Bar Chama is definitely at odds with the Ziknei Rom. He argues with the Ziknei Dorom. And he sets up the source above as, in fact, the Tumas HaBailim, where the owner was Tomei. And Rami Bar Chama will hold that the Yochid, who is Tomei Meis, does not send his Korbanos, because he holds that Achilas Psachim is Me'akev. Those are all points that Rashi brings out, but those are all points that are directly against the way the Ziknei Dorom was dealing with this entire topic. So, as far as the fact that Rami Bar Chama has a question concerning Kayin Hamratzeh B'Korban Oseim and Huchel Tumas Tom or not, that in and of itself does not serve as a question on the Ziknei Dorom. Rami Bar Chama simply has a different way of learning the source. A different way, which in fact argues on the Ziknei Dorom. At this point in the Gemara, after bringing in Rami Bar Chama to our discussion, we have two lishonos. We have a new symbol, a trapezoid form that we often call the volcano shape. This is seen on the side of the Gemara under our topic, under our Mivneh heading. Before we read the Mivneh, we might just note the Nosei, which we call the Hemshech, a continuation. The topic heading here is a continuation of the sugya before. Machlokes be'inyan tomei meis sheshalach korbanosov. As a machlokes regarding tomei meis, if he sends his korbanos, according to Ziknei Dorom Meratzeh, it will be acceptable. The Rami Bar Chama ain't a meratzeh, that an owner who's a tomei meis, he cannot send his korbanos to be processed. We now have a mivneh note, structural note. We feature the trapezoids. They will appear in this sugya in two different directions, and they'll be accompanied by a Roman numeral number 1 and 2. This represents, in this case, two lishonas, two versions. Number one is Makshal Rami Bar Chama, is a Gemara that will be designed to raise a question on Rami Bar Chama. Roman numeral number 2, that you will find on Omid Beis, almost halfway down the page. And you can also, you'll notice that the Roman numeral 2 appears also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, as it does over here, the Roman numeral number 1. That, the number 2, will be Maksha al Ziknei Dorom, will be a question raised on the Ziknei Dorom. So as we go on in the Gemara, it is incumbent upon us to bear in mind these two shitas. Rami Bar Chama, who on the one hand says that a Tomei Meis is Meshaleach Korbanosov, and the Ziknei Dorom, they said a Tomei Meis is not Meshaleach Korbanosov. Toshma. So as we said, the first Loshon here is brought as a question on Rami Bar Chama. The source starts here at the bottom. It quotes a pasuk dealing with the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. And we've spoken about the fact that the tzitz, the golden headplate of the Kohen Gadol, has an atonement capacity, and a capacity for making an allowance with regard to certain types of problems in the offering of korbanos. In other words, even though something may appear as a problem, the fact that the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, it enables the problem to be overlooked or to be atoned for, or we can pass it by. So the source begins with a pasuk dealing with the tzitz. It says, "V'nosa Aaron es avoin hakodashim." And Aaron will bear the sin of the sacrifices. In other words, the idea of Avon HaKoshim is a reference to a psul, some type of deficiency in the offering of the korban. The tzitz will help overcome that, will help it to go through. V'chi eza avoy noise, which deficiency, which psul does the tzitz help to overcome? Im avoin pigol, if this is a reference to the avon, the sin concerning inappropriate thoughts at the time of a korban being offered. And pigul in this case means thoughts concerning incorrect place, chutz lamakon, hare kvar ne'emar lo yechashev, Pasuk says that such a korban is not acceptable. In other words, the tzitz won't atone for that, won't enable a korban to be acceptable. Once one had incorrect thoughts concerning the korban's place, in other words, someone thought to do the zrikas adam michutz lazora, or someone slaughtered a korban with the intent of eating the meat outside of its appropriate place, either the azora if it's kochim kochim, or outside of Yerushalayim if it's kochim kalim, that kind of thing is loye choshev, is not acceptable. Im avoin noisar, Rashi explains here the word noisar, it's a rather unconventional translation, but in this case, noisar means chutz lizmano. If you are to suggest that the tzitz helps overcome a problem concerning incorrect thoughts of the korban concerning time, in other words, one slaughters a korban with the intent of doing the blood sprinkling tomorrow or eating the meat beyond its appropriate time. Well, harei kvar nemar lo yerotzeh. There is another. The pasuk also says regarding chutz lizmano, it's not acceptable. So we can't say that the tzitz is effective with regard to machshavos chutz lizmano. Ho'eino no se elo avoin tumo shehutra michlola betzibor. The only realm that the tzitz is able to overcome is the realm of contact with tuma, and the reason for our making allowances with regard to tuma, we're talking about tuma on a private level, is because the Torah makes an allowance. There's a leniency with regard to tuma when it is on a public level. My tuma, what kind of tuma are we talking about? Ilemo tumas sheretz. If we're referring to tuma that one incurs by contact with a dead sheretz. There is in the Torah a list of creatures that impart tuma when they are dead, and their tuma is called tumas sheretz. Hey, let's see, if that's the topic of this source, we have to, let's say, factor that into the source, and then we're saying that the tzitz would miratzeh for tumas sheretz because there is an allowance made for tumas sheretz on a public level. But on that we ask, heicha ishtari, where do we find a public level tumas sheretz allowance being made for? There is no such thing. Elo tumas meis. So it must be that the topic of this source deals with tuma known as tumas meis, and there is precedent in the Torah for an allowance being made when the public is tomei tumas meis. We say that in the case of a korban pesach, the korban is brought by the public in a case that rove the majority of the public is tumei meis. So we see an allowance made for tumas meis. Further details have to be highlighted now, explained. The lav kegoin shenitmu bailim b'meis. Is it not so that we're talking about the owner of the korban being tomei tumas meis? Alma, we see from the fact that the source teaches us that the tzitz is meratze for an owner that was tomei meis. Alma nitmu bailim b'meis. Mishalchin korbanoseihem. When the owner is tomei tumas meis, he is able to send his korban, and the fact that he is tomei is the fact that the owner is tomei is overcome by the fact that the tzitz will atone for that. Uvemai. What is the korban that we're talking about in this source? E benozir. If we're talking about an owner that was a nozir that became tomei, we would not, in fact, say this. Which is a rather brief quote, but it basically means that if a nozir was tomei tumas meis, and he happened to send his korbanos that are brought at the conclusion of the nazirus, his korbanos would not be acceptable. He would have to wait a period of time to achieve tahara, and then send special nozir tomei korbanos in, and only after that, and you have to observe another period of 30 days of nazirus, and only then would he be able to bring his korbanos. So we cannot be talking about an owner of a korban who happened to be a nozir that sent his korbanos in, and that the tzitz would cause it to be acceptable. Ela lo'isa pesach. Rather, we're talking about the owner of a korban pesach that happened to be tomei. he is able to send his korban in to be processed in the Beis HaMikdash, and the tzitz would be meratzeh. So we see from here, contrary to Rami Bar Chama, here we see that Bailim are Mishalchin, Bailim Shinim and Tumas Meis are Mishalchin Korban Oseim. And as we just said, that is counter to the Shita of Rami Bar Chama. We had pointed out that Rami Bar Chama's own Shita, and we saw this in the Rashi at the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, where it was highlighted that Ein Hayochet Tomei Meis Mishalech Korbanosav. Here, we've dashed underlined in the Gemara itself, Nitmu Bailim B'meis Mishalchin Korbanosahem. The Gemara in defense of Rami Bar Chama, Le'olam B'sheretz. The source here is talking about the owner becoming Tomei Tumas Sheretz. Now, if you'll ask the question, well, we don't find a public allowance made for Tumas Sheretz, that need not be a question. The idea that was expressed in the Braisa, why we make an allowance with regard to Tuma, is because V'shem Tuma Ba'olam, because there is a leniency somewhere in the realm of Tuma, even though not specifically Tumas Sheretz, but it is sufficient to find some area of leniency. And it happens to be in the case of Tumas Meis, but within the realm of Tumah there is leniency. This is in distinction to the previous mentioned problems of thoughts that are chutz l'makomo and chutz l'zmano, where there is no allowance whatsoever made for that. V'ika d'dayek u'maisi hachi. As you can see, the volcano form is flipped over, and this represents a second lashon. And as we mentioned before, this Lashon is brought in as an attack or a question on the Ziknei Dorom. All of these structural points, it's interesting to point out, Rashi himself is very sensitive to it. And he mentions this, V'ika d'dayik, Lishno d'kroi, that means that by focusing on the language of the Pasuk itself, we will, by being precise with regard to the Lashon of the Pasuk, and then we will bring in the Braisa, the problem raised by the Braisa against the Ziknei Dorom, v'siyata l'Rami Bar Chama, and in this Lashon, a support to Rami Bar Chama. This, of course, is the opposite of what we were doing in the previous Lashon. So let us see this in the Gemara. V'ika d'dayik u'maisi hochi. Avon HaKadoshim. This, of course, is a quote from the Pasuk that was featured at the beginning of the Braisa that was found at the bottom of Omen Aleph, where the Braisa quoted the Pasuk, V'nosa Aaron es Avon HaKadoshim. So, focusing on the expression of the Pasuk, we say, Avon HaKadoshim in the Tzitz, atones for problems involving the korban itself, avon makdishim lo. However, problems concerning the person is makdish the korban, that's tumas haguf, and Rashi points out tumas haguf, whether it's the kohanim or the bailim or the owner, there the tzitz is not meratzeh. So now the Gemara asks, which realm of Tuma do you say that the tzitz is not meratzeh? My Tuma. Once again, which Tuma is it that we say that the tzitz is not meratzeh? And of course, we're talking about which Tumas Yochid we're talking about. Because the Braisa mentioned that the tzitz is meratzeh in some kind of realm of tuma that is hutra mechola b'tzibor. So, which tumas yochid is it that we are going to tell you that the tzitz is meratzeh? And of course, we have to we'll see further details as we go on in the Gemara. So, my tuma I lema tumas sheretz. If the topic of this source is the realm of Tumas Sheretz, well, mi ishtaroi b'tzibor. Is it allowed on a public level? We don't find any record of an allowance made for a situation where the public is tomei tumas sheretz. Elolav tumas meis. So rather, it's the realm of tumas meis where we find that on the when the public is tomei tumas meis, there is an allowance made for it. Hence, when the yochid, when the individual is tomei tumas meis, the tzitz is meratzeh. The avon kodoshim in. Avon makdishim lo. The allowance is made only with regard to tumas meis, as it may have affected the meat or the blood of the korban, but not insofar as tumas meis having affected the makdish, the either the owner or the kayin. Now this is a problem for the ziknei dorom. Let us not forget, the Ziknei Dorom said that a Kohen who is Nitma Betumas Meis is Meratzeh. The Gemara answers on behalf of the Ziknei Dorom, Le'olam Tumas Sheretz. The source is focusing on Tumas Sheretz. And it's in that realm that we say Avon HaKodoshim In and Avon Makdishim Loi. Namely that if the Koyein is Tomei Tumas Sheretz, then the Tzitz is not Meratzeh. But if he were Tomei Tumas Meis, it would be Meratzeh. And that's in conformity to the din of the Ziknei Dorom. Now you'll ask, well, if it's talking about tumas sheretz, then how can you say it's hutra michol lebetzi? Where do we find tumas sheretz allowed for on a public level? The answer is we don't. But the realm of tuma is allowed on a public level. That's in the case of tumas meis, and that's sufficient to set it apart from the issues of avon pigol or avon noser, namely chutz l'mekomo or chutz l'zmano, where there is no allowance whatsoever made for those things. So therefore the tzitz, in the case of chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mekomo, does not have an effect. Whereas in the realm of tumas, in the realm of tuma, the tzitz does have an effect. And we're adding over here that the diuk of the source, which was avon hakodoshim in avon makdishim lo, we're talking about tumas sheretz, where for if the animal or the korban or the dam became tomei tumas sheretz, the tzitz is meratzeh, but not if the bailim became tomei tumas sheretz, the tzitz won't be meratzeh, and that is in line with the ziknei dorom. And so we'll read that last line again: li'olam tumas sheretz, v'shem tuma ba'olam. And as far as the issue of where do we find some type of hutra b'tzibor, that's with regard to the realm of tuma. Continuing in the Gemara, Yoshev, we said that a kohen who does process of korban while seated is mechalel the avoda minolon. From where do we know that? Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Kro, la'amoid l'shores. That's what it says in the pasuk. La'amido b'chartiv v'lo yeshiva. The kohanim were chosen to serve while standing, not while sitting. And if he is seated, so he's considered not chosen. He would therefore have a din of a zar, of a non-kohen. And if that be the case, we know from elsewhere that a zar is mechalel avoda. Tanu Rabbanan, the Tanaic source begins with a quote from the pasuk that says, La'amod l'shores. Mitzvah. From that posuk alone, I would know that it's the desired way. Kishu omer ho'imdim, from the fact that the posuk elsewhere says, uses the word ho'imdim. Shino olov hakosuv lakev, there's a repetition of the idea of amida, and when psukim repeat certain ideas, that makes it binding, that if it's not done, the korban will be ruined. We have a question now. It lasts a few lines, and we have indicated this by the long question marking that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a shin, a she'ela, a question, with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. Amale Ravel Rav Nachman, Michti. Let's look into this. Yoshev kezar domi u'mochil avoida. A Yoshev, a Kohen who is seated, is viewed as a zar, as a non-kohen, and as a result is mechalel the avodo, ruins the sacrifice. Amal, why not say as follows, ma zor b'misa, af yoshev b'misa. Just like a zar who does avoda, it would be chayev misa bidei shamayim, chayev death at the hands of heaven, af yoshev b'misa. So too, someone who is seated. Imagine a kohen is seated and does zrikas adam while seated. He too should be b'misa bidei shamayim. Alomo tanya, so why does it say to the contrary? We have a Tanaic source that says, Aval Orel Oinen Yoshev Einon B'misa Elabazara. We've dashed underlined the expression that's important for us. It says that the Yoshev is not B'misa. He is considered only in violation of a negative command. That's an Azhara. But he's not also Chayav death at the hands of heaven. Why not? If he's compared to Azar, just like Azar is Chayav Misa, so too the Yoshev should be Chayav Misa. The Gemara answers, Mishum Dahavi Mechusar Begodim Veshelo Rochot Yadayv Raglayim Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Kechod. Since we have two psukim, we'll say, one featuring the idea of someone, of a kohen serving, lacking the required number of clothing. The standard kohen is required to wear four begodim, four big day kohen, and if he is lacking them, he's called a mechusar begodim. And there's another issue, the need for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, the need for washing, one, the kohen's washing hands and feet, primarily from the kior. We had a sugya before that dealt with the possibility of all clay sharis, but for our purposes, the kohen who serves without washing his hands and feet before doing the service is also, just like a mechusar begodim, he too is said to be chayev miso bidei shemayim. So when you have two psukim that come to teach me the same thing, in this case you have two psukim or two topics, mechusar begodim and shelo rochos yadayim v'raglayim, and the pasuk tells me that those two are chayev misa, the following rule kicks in. We continue at the top of chof dalim and aleph, v'chol shnei ksuvim haboyim ke'echod ein malamdim. Two psukim that teach me the same thing, we say that they cannot teach two other things. In other words, I conclude that these are chayav misa and not yoshev. In other words, the idea of chayav misa would be limited to those concerning whom it says that there's a chayav misa. If the Torah stated it in the case of only one offense, then we would say that's an example or an archetype for many other offenses. However, when it's said by two, in the case of two elements, we say, well, it's only those two and not by anything else. The Gemara asks, or points out, there is another approach, there's another opinion that you find in the Shas that says that even in the case of two psukim that teach me something, they are able to serve as a precedent for other topics. What am I going to say about the fact that the Yoshev is not B'misa when we find these other things, Mechusar Begodim and Shelo Rochos Yadayim V'raglayim are Chayav Misa? Why not say the same thing by the Yoshev? The answer to that is Shtuya Yayin Havei Shlishi. A person, a Kohen who serves while intoxicated is also Mechal Avodah. That would constitute a third example stated in Psukim of someone who is Chayav Misa Bidei Shemayim. Ushlosh L'divrei HaKol Ein Malamdim. And when you have three Psukim teaching me the same idea, there, according to all opinions, we say that we do not learn from them to other topics, and hence we would say that Misa Bidei Shemayim is limited to those things and not expanded to include Yoshev as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.